Everybody says amen. Let's give the Lord applause. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. You can be seated today. Just before I start, I thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank Jesus for setting me free. Werner, nearly 10 years ago this month, I was a messed up drug addict with no hope. But God in His grace and His mercy called me out of darkness into His wonderful light. And I am so grateful for the ministry, I'm so grateful for the home. Thank God for the home. Because it was in the home that God turned me into a man. A man of God, amen. And I'm always grateful for the home. I'm grateful for my pastor, Pastor Paul, and Sister Vicky. Let's keep them in prayer. They're at Mexico at leadership meetings. Let's pray that they get the rest that they need. Because how many know we've got a busy pastor? If you're around about Pastor Paul, he's a busy man. He's like a spiritual fireman, Sam. He's always going about putting out fires, amen. So how many know our pastor needs rest and refreshed, and they come back with fresh fire for us. And also I want to acknowledge my beautiful wife, my children. You know what? I just thank God that God is a good God, amen. Amen. And what I want to share on this morning is, since last Sunday, God's been stirring up inside me about intercessory prayer. He's been stirring up something from when James spoke last week. He was talking about consecrating yourself today and getting ready for your tomorrow. And when I went home on Sunday, God started to stir up something even before I went home. I remember I was kneeling, I was on my knees at the altar, and God was speaking to me. And He was saying, you know what? It's time to stand in the gap. It's time to start to stand in the gap for your family. I mean, stand in the gap. I've been standing in the gap before, but He wants us to go deeper. See, I'm a man that I pray for my family and I pray for the church, but you know what? God's calling for us to go deeper. He's calling us to go more. He's calling us to press in more. He's calling us to break through more. And since last Sunday, I've been stirred up. My prayer life's went to a new level. Believe me, God's been telling me, Kevin, get up at this time in the morning and sacrifice this hour period in the morning and pray in tongues and start to create an atmosphere in your house and create an atmosphere with your children. And when the children get up, tell them there ain't no telly time. This is prayer time. There ain't no Peppa Pig time. This is the Prince of King. You know what I mean? This is Jesus time. And you know what? God's been stirring up inside me, and I feel good, and I feel better, I feel refreshed. Because you know what? When you spend time in God's presence, He refreshes you. When you separate yourself in prayer, God will refresh you. See, you know what? I've got 3 young kids and they're up early, but God has graced me because He says, you know what, Kevin, I want you to stand in the gap. And I believe that's a word for today, is to stand in the gap. The Victory Outreach Manchester, that God is calling us to stand in the gap more. He's calling us to stand in the gap. God's been challenging me to go deeper, to spend more time. You know what? My prayer to be intentional, that sometimes we can get up and we pray and we spend all our prayer time praying for our needs and praying for our stuff and praying for the things that we need. But let me tell you, God already knows what you need. He's a supplier of your needs. But when you spend that time crying out for your neighbor, crying out for your work colleague, crying out for your family and your community, God starts to move. See, you know what? He's been calling me to stand in the gap for my family more. And you know what? There's a scripture in the book of Job 16 verse 21. The Bible says, on behalf of man, he pleads with God. See, today I want us to look at intercessory prayer. See, intercessory prayer is really the heart of God. God wants His servant to pray. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See, this word clearly tells us that God wants His people to pray for His land. See, many of us are here today because somebody somewhere at some time stood in the gap for us. We are here because of our praying mother, our praying grandma. We are here because of our praying people. And let me tell you, God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And you know what? Somebody got on their knees and they cried out for us. I know myself that I'm coming up to 10 years saved, and it's because Brian and Fiona and our prayer team, they prayed, God, let there be a soul at my wedding. God, let someone get saved at my wedding. And let me tell you, God heard those prayers, because I'm here, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, with Jesus on my mind, because somebody decided to stand in the gap. See, there's something when you stand in the gap for people. There's something happens. See, an intercessor is one who takes up the burden that goes far beyond his or her needs and intentions. See, the Bible is clear that all Christians are called to be intercessors. All Christians have the Holy Spirit in their heart. And just as He intercedes for us, according with God's will, we are to intercede for one another. See, God wants us to intercede for one another. God wants us to lift up one another. God wants us to build up one another, to be there, standing in the gap, praying for our brothers and sisters, praying for our family. God wants us to be praying for each other. And there's a portion of scripture when the prophet Samuel was speaking in 1 Samuel 12 verse 23. He says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. See, God wants us to pray for others. God wants us to pray for this city. How else is this city going to be turned around? How else are we going to see souls for changed for the honor and the glory of God? How else are we going to see young people on fire for God? How else are we going to see young couples? How else are we going to see marriages restored, families rebuilt? How else are we going to see this place turn around for the honor and the glory of God? It's going to take people like you and people like me standing in the gap for those communities, standing in the gap for those young people, standing in the gap for those young gang members, those prostitutes, those homeless people, the bank managers, the man who works in Asda, the lady who works in Tesco, standing in the gap for these men and for these women. See, the Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty concept, but with humility of mind, regard one another more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. See, we should be walking about as Christians looking for people to pray for. I don't mean you need to walk up to everybody you see and lay hands on them, but you can pray as you walk by places. On Friday, I left the church. I had Nadia with me. I was standing at the bus stop. And who remembers Pastor Dave King, who comes and preaches in the church. He's the prayer coordinate of Salford and Greater Manchester and loads of different places. And I'm standing at the bus stop, and I seen Dave King walking up towards me. And I started talking to him, as you do, you know what I mean? How you doing? Everything's great and all, brilliant, all right, bruv, and all that. And the usual stuff, you know what I mean? And I said to him, what are you up to today? And he goes, oh, I'm just doing my Friday prayer walk. I was like, wow, man, this... tell me more, that sounds great. I goes, because I saw him previous before walking around, and I just thought he was just walking around, trying to keep fit. So he went, you know what I mean? And he's like, no, what I do every Friday, he says, I get up in the morning and I pray. He says, then I get my little rucksack on me, my water and that, and I walk about, I get out my house, and I walk around Salford. Then I walk around Manchester. And he goes, and what I do is I just walk round past every church praying a blessing over that church. See, he's walking around just praying a blessing over, you saw him in the street, he's just a normal man, he's just walking around, and he says, I'm praying blessing of revival in every church in Salford and Manchester. He goes, that's what I do Friday. Let me tell you, we need more men like that to rise up. We need more women to rise up, men and women who are going to stand in the gap for this city, who are going to stand in the gap for this broken place and see the honor of God. See, God is looking for people to stand in the gap for this city. God is looking for people to stand in the gap for this nation. I love the stuff that James was saying last week. And he was talking about the next generations. What we do now is going to determine what they do. And it sort of blew me away. And there's certain things that he said that sparked me and changed me. And you know what? We're called to pray. As Christians, we're called to pray. As Christians, we're called to stand in the gap. As Christians, we're called to intercede. See, there's a portion of scripture when I was studying, I came across in the book of Exodus, in chapter 17, reading from 10 to 13. It says, the Bible says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur held his hands up, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army. See, when I was reading and I was studying this, see, this story illustrates the power of intercessory prayer. See, far from the crowd, but seen by the eye of God, are men and women who hold up the hands of ministries in prayer. See, they hold up the hands, because every time the hands were lifted up, there was victory. Because how many know when you lift the hands up, there is victory? When you lift up the name of Jesus, there is victory. When you start to call upon the name of Jesus, there is victory. When you start praying, you can start to see change. Because even when Moses' hands got tired, there was someone there willing to stand in the gap and lift up his arms. See, our pastor's hands get tired sometimes. That's why he needs people to intercede for him. That's why he needs people to stand in the gap for him. Pastor Sonny's got the elders who lift up his hands in times of battle. Pastor Paul needs men and women who are going to intercede, who are going to stand in the gap, who are going to be there praying and praying. While he's preaching, they're praying. While he's preaching, they're praying. See, I heard her, and you know what? And that's where the victory comes. See, his hands get tired. Moses' hands got tired. Our pastor's hands get tired. Ministry leaders' hands get tired. Because sometimes you wear about 10 different hats in ministry, and you get tired, and your arms get tired. But let me tell you, God is looking for men and women to rise up and lift up the hands of their leaders and stand in the gap for their leaders, to stand in their gap when their arms get tired, when their arms get heavy. They're looking for an Aaron and a Hur to lift up the hands, because when they lift up the name of Jesus, he says he will draw all men to me. When you lift up the name of the King of Kings, let me tell you something, when we cry out for Salford, we're going to see gang members coming in. When we cry out for this area, we're going to see the homes filled, the women's homes filled, the men's home filled. We're going to see a UTC. We're going to see things in this city when it takes people who are willing to stand in the gap and lift up the arms of their leaders, who are going to lift up their arms and cry out for this nation. See, the great man of God, Charles Finley, had an intercessor called Abel Clary, who traveled with him wherever he went. Charles Finley wrote, Mr. Clary continued as long as I did. He did not leave until I had left. He never appeared in public, but he gave himself wholly to prayer. Finley may have impacted nations, but he did not do it alone. See, every great man and woman of God needs an intercessor to lift up their hands. If we're going to see this church explode, it's going to take intercessors rising up. If we see this place go double services, treble services, midweek services, if we're going to see revival break, it's going to come out of prayer. It's going to come out of intercessory. It's going to come out of people who don't want to be in the public, but they'd rather be in the back on their knees, crying out for change, crying out for the anointing, crying out for people to get healed. See, that's what God is looking up for. See, Job writes, my intercessor is my friend. On behalf of man, he pleads with God as a man pleads for his friend. When is the last time we pleaded for our friends? When is the last time we cried out for those that are closest to us? When's the last time you cried out for the enemies? When's the last time we cried out for those that come against us? When's the last time we spent time in prayer for those that offended us? When is the last time we broke sweat on our hands and knees for those that come against us? See, God is looking for intercessors to rise up, to stand up, and to take the position. And today I want to look at a couple of things. I believe that intercessory is identified with standing in the gap for others. When you identify the needs of others, then you pray for them. See, sometimes we need to stop worrying about our problems and start looking for to pray for other people's problems. See, when you refresh others, the Bible says you will be refreshed. See, sometimes we need to refresh others before the Lord will refresh us. If you need refreshed, then get on your knees and cry out for your brother or cry out for your sister. Since last week, I found myself praying in the Spirit more. I've been getting up and I've been praying in tongues. I've been standing at bus stops praying in tongues. I can't help myself. I'm just praying in tongues wherever I am. Every opportunity I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying and I'm asking God, help me, show me, lead me, guide me, direct me. I want my life to be worth. I want to stand in the gap. Because you know what? Because after last Sunday, if you ain't heard last Sunday's message, let me tell you, get on the podcast. And if you've heard it once, you'll probably listen to it about 5 times. I can't even help but stop listening to it now. That's how much it impacted. See, God knows what you need when you need it at the right time. See, some people last week were dry and there was a spark that sparked you off. There are some people you were empty and you left filled last week. But then you have the choice to continue to be filled up. Continue to be filled up daily. Continue to be filled up daily. Continue to pray in the Spirit and allowing God to fill you up with His Spirit every day fresh to restore you, to rebuild you, to revive you. See, sometimes we need Holy Ghost jump leads because sometimes we come into the church and we're virtually dead. Sometimes the AA needs to bring us here because we're broken down in our prayer life. And the AA or the RAC or whoever it wants to be, they bring you in and they dump you at the church. And sometimes you just make it no more to the altar. Then God comes with the Holy Ghost and it's just boom, 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 boom. That's what it was like last week. Some of you's got a boom, 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 boom. And let me tell you, that's where God wants to spark that intercessory jump. He wants you to spark up something. We see many prayer ministries, especially in Manchester. I was at a prayer meeting in November. Pastor Paul asked me, it was during the women's conference or just before the women's conference. There was a Salford prayer team, it's called, and it's Pastor Dave King who sort of oversees it. And Pastor Paul's like, well, he'll be, there was many guests over for the States and that. He goes, so I'll be entertaining sort of thing. He goes, I want you to go and represent. So a couple of us went for the re-entry house. And I was thinking to myself, just a prayer meeting. I wasn't really expecting what was going to happen. I was just going to represent, and it was a prayer meeting, and sometimes with the kids, you didn't get much prayer. And I was like, well, it's an opportunity for more prayer. Let me go anyway. So I went there and they started talking about, and what they were talking about, they broke down the word heart. And there's a prayer team based in Salford that are praying every day of the week for Salford. Interceding for Salford. On a Sunday, they're praying blessings over Sunday. This is a team. This is men and women, old men, young men, all different sorts of ages of men and women. And you know what? And on a Sunday, they're praying for blessings. On a Monday, they're praying for the health. They're praying for the hospital. They're praying for the doctors. They're praying for things. And on a Tuesday, they're praying for education. They're praying for the schools, they're praying for the teachers, they're praying for continued growth and quality of education in Salford. On a Wednesday, they're praying for authority. They're praying that the authority has wisdom and understanding in all that they seek to do. On a Thursday, they're praying for regeneration, for the right choices to be made in all the projects in Salford. You drive around Salford and look around, Salford's changing. Salford's changing. Wherever you go, Salford's changing. Ain't no longer gloom and doom in Salford. Let me tell you, there's flats getting built. There's houses getting built. The schools are quality. The hospital's quality. The authority's getting... Why? Because people are interceding on a daily basis for the needs of the city. On a Friday, they pray for transformation. That Salford to become fully what God has designed it to be. And on a Saturday, it's Thanksgiving. And when I went there, it sort of blew my mind. And I remember I was talking to Pastor Dave King, and he was asking how did I find the prayer meeting and that. I said it was brilliant. I said it's really opened my eyes. I got a little booklet all about it so I could pray for it myself, and I was showing my wife it and so she could pray for it. And one of the things he said to me, he said, so what school does your kids go to? And I went, St. Peter's in Swinton. And he went, he goes, come on over here a minute. He goes, I want to introduce you to somebody. I went, all right then. I went over and there must have been a lady well in her 60s. And he said to me, tell this lady what school your kids go to and what it's like. I said, well, they go to St. Peter's. I said, the headmaster's brilliant. He's there, not I mean? He's welcoming. He's free to approach. The teachers are brilliant with the children. There's a great atmosphere when you walk in the place. You really feel the welcome. You know what? You really feel belonging there. And the lady looked at me and smiled. And Pastor Dave King said, this lady's been standing in the gap for 20 years for that school. Her and her little team prayed daily for the schools in Salford. And you know what? I thank God for intercessors. I thank God for men and women who are willing to get on their knees and cry out for change. Who are willing to go above and beyond the call of duty. Who are willing to stand in the gap when, you know what, when everybody else is doing their daily stuff or whatever, but they just lock themselves away and they come together and they cry out for this city and they cry out, and you just need to walk around and you can see the change. You can see the change. You can see the change in the air. There's a different atmosphere. In Salford, it's not as bad as it used to be made out to be a bad place, but it's changing. It's changing. Why? Because of intercessory prayer. See, intercessory prayer, it calls you away from the pleasures and the comforts of life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I was listening to a message the other day there, and the man said, have you ever thought of that scripture, pray without ceasing? Have you ever really thought of it? If God tells you to pray without ceasing, does that mean he'll answer without ceasing? If he tells you to pray without ceasing, then we serve the God that will answer without ceasing. But you need to pray without ceasing. Amen. And you know what? When you woke up, let me ask you this. When you wake up in the morning and you step out your bed, does the devil say, oh no, she's up? When you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the ground, does the devil tremble? When you wake up and your feet hit the ground, does the devil say, oh no, it's a prayer warrior who's up? Or does he bring you your slippers and say, business as usual? That's something that changed my life. Amen. See, we have read in the Bible about going the extra mile. When you spend time praying for others, when you sacrifice your time, when you put others first, then you're going the extra mile. See, the Lord is saying to us today, it's time to go above and beyond. It's time to stand in the gap. It's time to turn the telly off. It's time to get rid of the things that are distract you. It's time to get rid of the Facebooks and those things that distract you. See, I was praying and I was writing this message out. The Lord was saying, you know, today in Christianity, there is many people that are having Facebook affairs. There is many people who are having Facebook affairs that is distracting you from the things of God. It's distracting you from your first love. It's distracting you from pressing in. Because before you can press in, you need to check your mail. I stand here guilty as charged of that. But thank God for his grace. I had to delete it from my phone. Because I was doing it. I was doing it. First thing in the morning, as soon as you open your eyes, have I any messages? Before you open your eyes. And it's not that, you're just not looking at your own messages. Some people are Facebook stalkers. They're on everybody else's messages. They look at everybody else's profiles. I don't know, is it sick that you want to look at other people who they're talking to? And it's not just that. Then you want your 10 pence worth. You're talking to somebody on Facebook, the next minute somebody jumps out and starts jumping in the conversation. You're like, what are you doing? I know you're laughing because somebody's there. But I believe God's telling us enough is enough. If it's an eye, get rid of it. If it's preventing and stopping you and distracting you, get rid of it. If it's stopping you, go deeper, get rid of it. If it's hindering you, get rid of it. Because you can only go forward when you let go of the things that are holding you back. And there are as many people that there's things holding you back. There's things holding you back. And until you cut loose of them, until you get rid of them, then you can go forward to the place where God wants you to be. To that place where God can start to use you. When God can start to speak to you. Because I found myself praying in the tongues. Then all of a sudden a name comes on my heart. Then all of a sudden a situation comes on my heart. And I start to pray for that person. And I start to pray for that situation. Then somewhere down the line, you hear somebody mention it. Oh, I was just about to do this and something changed. I was just about to go that way, then somebody changed. Because you know what? God had placed it in your heart to pray for that person who was struggling, to pray for that person who was ready for suicide, to pray for that person who was ready to cut out in their family, to pray for that person who was ready to walk away. And God places it in your heart, but you'll only hear it if everyone else is blocked out. You need to block out everything else so God can speak to you. We're in the end times, and God is looking for people to speak to. He's looking for people to pray. He's looking for people who will humble themselves and start to pray more and start to believe more. And when you pray more and believe more, let me tell me, you will see more, because you will see the fruit of your prayer. When you sow that seed, you will see the change. You will see the transformation. You will see the deliverance of people. You will see families restored because you have prayed and stood in the gap and you're willing to do that. See, our kids need to hear us standing in the gap. Our children need to see us praying. Our children need to hear us praying. Our children need to see us on our knees crying out. Because you know what? When I grew up, there was no iPads. When I grew up, there was no devices in the morning. You were lucky if your mom had a telly. Some of you are no older than me like that. But now the kids, as soon as they got up, they want the devices. My kids got up and it's like iPad withdrawals. iPad dad, iPad dad. I'm like, whoa, chill, relax. But they want the iPads, they want the gadgets. Well, our children need to see us on our knees. They need to see us crying out. They need to see us broken. They need to see us praying and believing for miracles for our family. This generation needs to see us on our knees. This generation needs to hear us crying out. In the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 20 through to 24, the Bible reads, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that he had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so all people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" See, the 12 stones that Joshua set up served as a visual reminder of God's provision in opening the Jordan River so Israel could walk on dry ground into the promised land. And they served as a verbal testimony to anyone who would ask, "What do these stones mean?" See, our children need to see prayers answered. Our children need to see stones of intercessory prayer. Our children need to see that when you're praying, they're seeing it unfold in front of their eyes. They're seeing the promises come to pass. They're walking into the promised land because you've laid down stones. I remember when mommy and daddy prayed for this. I remember when the church prayed for this. I remember when my mom prayed for this. I remember our kids need to remember that mom and dad are prayer warriors, that they belong to a Holy Ghost filled church, that if you've got a need, you get on your knees and you cry out and you see the fulfillment of your prayers unfold before your very eyes. The other morning, me and my wife, sometimes you can plan to get up early and pray a couple of hours, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, and we were rushed to get the kids out for school. Sometimes it's like the ranch in the morning, getting cattle ready. I'm telling you, man, you think I'm joking? Come running to my house at 7. You're up, down, wash, breakfast. It's like the kids want a buffet in the morning. I was happy with a bit of toast and jam. My kids want a buffet, and not just any kind of buffet. There's Pacific rolls to eat, and they want it this way and that way. Even Nadia, 1 year old, she's sitting with her napkin on, waiting on the buffet. And you place it all down in front of her, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of toast, a little bit of roll. Oh, wait, here comes the Weetabix. And she says, And we were running late one morning. So me and my wife, we just started praying at the table in the midst of the buffet. We just started praying and asking God to bless and standing in the gap for certain things. Then all of a sudden, Naomi, the oldest one, 5 year old, turned round in the middle of prayer and said, "Can we pray for my uncle?" And me and my wife looked at each other. "What? Your man wear toast?" No, she went, "Oh, can I pray for you? Not my uncle who's got a sore leg." And me and my wife went like, "All right then, you pray." The next minute, Naomi's starting to pray for her uncle. And me and my wife are looking at each other and we're amazed. Why? Because she sees mum and dad crying out to God. And if she knows that mummy and dad cry out to God, then it is right to cry out to God. She's copying what we're doing. See, we have to be imitators. We have to be not pretenders, but imitators. The people need to see us crying out. We need to leave those stones. We need to leave things when prayers are answered. We need to bring testimonies of what God has done in our lives so people will see the glory of God, the goodness of God. It doesn't matter who gets the credit, but as long as God gets the glory, that's what he's looking for. He wants the glory. You can take the credit. Yeah, it was your prayer, but it was God who answered it. And God's the one who will always come through. He will always answer. He will always come through when you cry out. Amen. See, also intercessory, it's a prayer that moves the hand of God on behalf of others. I've experienced this and saw this with my own eyes. I remember there was a brother that had to go to court. He had plenty previous, and by all natural, he should have went to jail. And I remember going to court in Manchester, and I was standing with the brother, and we prayed, and the home prayed before we went. And we believed God for a miracle. And I remember the judge, and he was up for drug dealing. He got caught with a half ounce of heroin and a half ounce of crack in little bags. And realistically, he had quite a few previous for drugs. In all means, he should have got imprisoned. But the judge said, "I don't know why I'm doing this today, but let me tell you, I'm going to give you a chance." And when the judge said that, it remembered me that the prayers had went up, and that doesn't give anybody an excuse to go out and sin. You know, I'm not meaning that. You don't go out and sin and hope God helps you. But what I'm saying is the grace of God was there because the prayers had went up. See, the prayers of intercessory, it's the prayers that move the hand of God. There is many situations we've been in that you know that people are praying for you, that people are standing in the gap for you. Who remembers Hilda? Our own Victor Outreach Manchester grandma. Beautiful, sweet old lady, man. And I remember her saying something to you that has never ever left me, and it probably never ever will until the time I speak to her again. She said, "You know what, son?" She goes, "I kind of get out and about what I used to. I can't move around like I used to." She goes, "But one thing, son, I can still go on my knees." And I remember looking at her, man, she was a frail old lady. This was near before she went with the Lord. She goes, but I can still go on my knees and pray for the men. And I was like, wow. She was willing, no matter. She was in the entry. She could still go on her knees and cry out. Because she knew that her prayers would be answered. She knew that by faith that God would bless and God would hear and God would move. And many people's lives were changed because somebody has stood in the gap and cried out for you and cried for a breakthrough for your life and cried for some stuff. See, God is looking for men and women today to stand up and get that intercessory. Men and women that are willing to put everything else to the side. Men and women are saying, you know what? Let me start to pray. Let me come to the prayer meeting. Let me come to this. Have you ever thought that when, you know what, sometimes when there's a need, and there's a financial need. You know what, sometimes we can't meet every financial need, but we can pray. We can send our prayers. We can send our prayers. We can send our prayers for those on the mission field. We can send our prayers for those that are sacrificing everything. We can send our prayers for the men and women of God. We can send our prayers. We can send our prayers. We maybe not always have the finances to do, but we're always going to have breath. Because the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. That's what the word says. We need to be praising God. We need to be standing in the gap. We need to be crying out. See, Abraham prayed for Sodom in its area when they sinned against God. And that's like asking God for mercy for the nation and asking God to be kind to the people. This is standing in the gap for the nation. Today, Christians blame non-Christians in their sins for their suffering. As people of God, we should pray like Abraham did in Genesis. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for Salford. We need to pray for Manchester. We need to pray for the UK and Ireland. We need to pray for United Kingdom. We need to pray for the world. We need to be standing in the gap, crying out to God for this city and for this nation. The great man of God, Billy Graham, said, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one has even bothered to ask. Have faith in God of the dream. Let's ask God to bring the dream to completion. God's answer is ready. It's just waiting for our personal and persistent request. And when I read that, I sort of, you know what? Let me be a man of prayer. Let me be a man of prayer. And what the Lord was showing me for the day is, you know what? That as a church, we need to be standing in the gap more. We need to be standing in the gap more. It says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, today God who said, I sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, is looking for intercessors, and you can be one of them today. I want us to stand to our feet this morning and ask the worship team to come up. And you know what? Sometimes we can come to church and it's all about us. We can come to church and we want our needs met. We can come to church and, you know what, with that mentality that it's all about us and it's all about me and it's all about, we want our needs met and we want our things. And when I was praying and I was asking God, what do you want me to do today, Lord? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? And I believe the Lord was saying, you know what? I want to make an altar of intercession. Today, God wants to make an altar of intercession. God wants to challenge us to come and pray for the needs of others. That you know what? That sometimes it's, and when you're praying for the need of others, you'll probably find that God will make care of your need anyway. And as the worship team get ready to play, I want to encourage us this morning. It's time to stand in the gap more. It's time to seek first the kingdom. It's time to seek God for the city. It's time to seek God for your family more. It's time to seek God for the lost and the bound and the broken. But that comes through intercession. And you know what? Today I want us to make an altar of intercession. There's some things, some points the Lord was showing me that He wants us to pray for. And you know what? I believe there's power in prayer. How many people believe there's power in prayer? That when we pray today, we're going to see the fruit of this. When we make a request known this morning, today, we're going to see fruit of this. We're going to hear testimonies that people have been saved, that people have been transformed, that people have been refreshed because of prayers that have went up in here today. And I want to open the altars. I want us all to come and stand in the gap. I want us all to come today and stand at the altar, and we're going to cry out in prayer. And the altars are open for everybody to come, and we're going to make an altar of intercession today. Because there's a few things the Lord's been showing me to stand in the gap for. We're going to stand in the gap for our families. We're going to stand in the gap for our children. We're going to stand in the gap for our community. And we're going to stand in the gap for the city. And we're going to stand in the gap for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. Because just like I was saying earlier, Moses' hands got tired. Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky's hands get tired. And I believe that when the prayers go up today, that there's going to be a refreshing. When the prayers of intercessory goes up today, things are going to happen. Family members are going to get saved. Family members are going to turn away from sin and start to follow Jesus. That your children are going to become worshippers. That your children are going to serve God. That the backsliders will come back. That marriages will be restored. That families that have been broken, that God will put them back together. Because of the prayer of intercessory today, God will show me today that if we pray with all our heart and all our, if we pray and we seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness, God will take care of your needs. Don't worry about your needs. He already knows, and he's in the process of supplying them. And if you ain't got that need yet, then you need to be still and know that he is the Lord God. You need to wait and see, because let me tell you, God wants to bless us. But God wants us to lift up our prayers. And what I want us to do right now, I want us to lift up Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. I want us to lift up their arms. Lift up the man and women of arms. Pray for strength. Pray for a fresh fire. Pray for a fresh anointing. Oh, come on, church. Let's stand in the gap. This is intercessory. Standing in the gap. Putting others first. Oh, come on. Let's hear your voices. Let's lift up the man and women of God. Oh Father, we lift up Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. We lift up Thomas, and we lift up Lily Grace, my God.